Our next topic is on easements or servitudes. That's Article 613-693 of the Civil Code. Again, this topic is on easements or servitudes. The definition of easement under Article 613 is that an easement or servitude is an encumbrance imposed upon an immovable for the benefit of another immovable belonging to a different owner. The immovable in favor of which the easement is established is called the dominant estate, that which is subject thereto, the servient estate. So again, under 613, an easement or servitude is defined as an encumbrance imposed upon an immovable, remember, immovable, for the benefit of another immovable. So another immovable is benefited, which belongs to a different owner. And the immovable in favor of which the easement is established is called the dominant estate, and that which is subject thereto is called the servient estate. And under Article 614, servitudes may also be established for the benefit of a community or one or more persons to whom the encumbered estate does not belong. So servitudes may also be established under Article 614 for the benefit of a community or one or more persons to whom the encumbered estate does not belong. And in our jurisdiction, the terms easement and servitude are used interchangeably. But strictly speaking, however, the first easement refers to the right, while servitude refers to the encumbrance. So while easement and servitude is used in the alternative, strictly speaking, easement should only be used when we refer to the right, and when we refer to the encumbrance, we should use the term servitude. As to the kinds of easement, with respect to the recipient of benefit, we have real easement when the easement is in favor of another immovable, or personal when it is in favor of a community or one or more persons to whom the encumbered estate does not belong. So this is based in Article 613 and 614. So it can be real or personal. It is real. The easement is real when the easement is in favor of another immovable, and it can also be classified as personal when easement is in favor of a community or one or more persons to whom the encumbered estate does not belong. As to source, legal easement, if established by law, and it's also voluntary easement if established by will of the owners, Article 619. Legal easements, on the other hand, have for their object either public use or the interest of private persons under Article 634. Okay. Again, as to source, it is legal easement if established by law, and it is voluntary easement if established by the will of the owners, Article 619. And under Article 634, legal easements, on the other hand, have for their object either public use or the interest of private persons. As to its exercise, easement can be continuous or discontinuous, apparent or non-apparent, positive or negative. Continuous easements, as defined in Article 615, paragraph 1, so 615, paragraph 1, defines continuous easements are those the use of which is or may be incessant or without the intervention of any act of man. And apparent easements are those which are made known and are continually kept in view by external signs that reveal the use and enjoyment of the same. That's under Article 615, paragraph 3. Non-apparent easements, on the other hand, are those which should know, which shows no external indication of their existence. That's under Article 615, Paragraph 4, defining non-apparent easements as those which show no external indication of their existence. Positive easements are those which impose upon the owner of the servient estate the obligation of allowing something to be done or of doing it himself, defined under Article 616. So, positive easements under Article 616 are those which impose upon the owner of the servient estate the obligation of allowing something to be done or doing it himself. On the same Article 616, negative easements are defined as those which prohibit the owner of the servient estate from doing something which he could lawfully do if the easement did not exist. With respect to acquisition, continuous and apparent easements are acquired either by virtue of a title or by prescription, or by prescription of 10 years. That's under Article 620. So under Article 620, continuous and apparent easements are acquired either by virtue of a title or by prescription of 10 years. Continuous non-apparent easements and discontinuous easements, on the other hand, whether apparent or non-apparent, can only be acquired by virtue of a title under Article 620. So with respect to acquisition of easements, you refer to Article 620 and Article 622. So 620 and 622 provides that continuous and apparent easements are acquired either by virtue of a title or by prescription of 10 years, while continuous non-apparent easements and discontinuous easements, whether apparent or non-apparent, can only be acquired by a title. In the case of Ronquillo v. Rocco, 103 Philippines, 84, there was a question posed, are easements of right and way acquirable by prescription after 10 years? So the question in Ronquillo v. Rocco is that, are easements of right of way acquirable by prescription after 10 years? The answer is no. The reason is that although they may be apparent, they are discontinuous because they are used at intervals and depend upon the acts of man. Under Article 3 of PD 1667, questions arise as to whether easements of aqueduct acquirable by prescription after 10 years. So, are easements of aqueduct acquirable by prescription after 10 years? Correct answer is not anymore. So, you cannot anymore acquire by prescription after 10 years easements of aqueduct. The reason is found in the Water Code of the Philippines, under Article 3, that all waters belong to the estate, or the Water Code provides that all waters belong to the state, and therefore they cannot be subject of acquisitive prescription. Besides, a waiver, a water right, evidenced by a water permit, is now a mandatory requirement by the law for the water appropriator under Article 5. So two reasons why easements of aqueduct can no longer be acquired by prescription after 10 years is Article 3 and Article 5 of the Water Code. Under Article 3, all waters belong to the state, therefore they cannot be subject of acquisitive prescription, and besides, a water right must be evidenced by a water permit. How about the acquisition of easement by prescription and computation of period? So let's say under Article 621. Under Article 621 of the Civil Code, in order to acquire an easement by prescription, the time of possession shall be computed in this way. In positive easements, from the day on which the owner of the dominant estate or the person who may have use of the easement commenced to exercise it upon the servient estate. Again, in positive easements, you compute it from that day on which the owner of the dominant estate or the person whom you have use of the easement commence to exercise it upon the servient estate. And in negative easements, from the day on which the owner of the dominant estate forbade by an instrument acknowledged before a notary public, and the owner of the servient estate from executing an act which would be lawful without the easement. So, with respect to negative easements, it is computed from the day on which the owner of the dominant estate forbids by an instrument acknowledged before a notary public the owner of the servient estate from executing an act which would be lawful without the easement. So in other words, it will be computed from the day on which the owner of the dominant estate prohibited the owner of the servient estate from doing something through an instrument acknowledged before a notary public. Okay, so for example, A, owner of agricultural land which had no connection with the public room, has been passing through a pathway across the land of B, with the latter's tolerance for over 20 years. A subdivided his property into 20 residential lots and sold them to different persons. B blocked the pathway and refused to let the buyers pass. Did A acquire an easement of right of way? Why? Answer. A did not acquire an easement of right of way. According to the Civil Code, continuous and apparent easements are acquired either by virtue of a title. It is obvious that an easement of right of way is discontinuous non-apparent easements, and discontinuous easements, whether apparent or not, may be acquired only by virtue of a title. It is obvious that an easement of right of way is discontinuous in character because it is used only at intervals and its use requires the acts or intervention of man. It is also obvious that the use by tolerance is not equivalent of a title. Consequently, since A never acquired by prescription because of its discontinuous character, A did not acquire any easement of right of way. Okay. And how about this is the problem again. A, the owner of agricultural land which had no connection with the public road, has been passing through a pathway across the land of B, with the latter's tolerance for over 20 years. A subdivided his property into 20 residential lots and sold them to different persons. B blocked the pathway and refused to let the buyer pass. Question, did A acquire an easement of right of way? Our answer there, as I've said, answer is no. Because under the Civil Code, an easement of right of way, because under the Civil Code, continuous and apparent easements are acquired only by virtue of a title, and an easement of right of way is discontinuous, non-apparent or easements, and discontinuous easements, even if apparent or not, may be acquired only by virtue of a title. And you should also remember that A did not acquire an easement of right of way because he does not possess any title to pass through the property of B. So the only possible basis for the acquisition of the easement would be prescription after 10 years. In order that the easement would be prescription after 10 years, it is essential that it must be both continuous and apparent at the same time. An easement of right of way is discontinuous, therefore it cannot be acquired by prescription after 10 years. So remember that. Even if it's the only possible basis for the acquisition of the easement would be prescription after 10 years, but in order that the easement would be prescription after 10 years, it must be essential that both continuous and apparent, they must be continuous and apparent at the same time. Since an easement of right of way is a right of way is discontinuous, therefore it cannot be acquired by prescription after 10 years. B closed the pathway and refused to let the lot buyers pass. Yes, B can close the pathway and refuse to let the liars pass. The pathway belongs to him. Under the civil code, every owner may enclose or fence his land or tenement by means of walls, ditches, live or dead hedges, or by other means without detriment to servitudes constituted therein. What are the rights of the lot buyers, if any? So if you are one of the lot buyers can now demand for the establishment of a legal or compulsory easement of right of way, since their lots are surrounded by other immovables and without adequate outlet to the public highway, and this is not imputable to their own acts, they now have a perfect right to do so. However, they must comply with the two other requisites. They must pay to be the proper indemnity, and the right of way must be at point. The right of way must be at a point less prejudicial to the servient estate, and insofar as consistent with this rule, where the distance to the public highway may be shortest. So the keyword is least prejudicial to the servient estate, and the distance to the public highway is the shortest. How about easement by presumption? This refers to the easement by apparent sign regulated by Article 624 of our Civil Code. In order that the easement may continue actively and passively as easement by presumption, the following requisites must concur. Number one, there must be an apparent sign of an easement existing between the two estates. Number two, that the sign should have been placed by the original owner of both estates. Number three, one or both estates should have been alienated. And four, nothing contrary to the easement should have been stated in the deed of conveyance, neither was the sign removed. In the case of Gargantos versus Tanyanon, it was held that where the original owner of two adjoining lots, on one of which is had constructed a house with windows overlooking the adjoining lot, and subsequently sold said lots to two different persons, the one who bought the empty lot cannot construct a house thereon unless it is erected at a distance of not less than 3 meters from the boundary line, in conformity with Article 673 of the Civil Code. The reason for this is that an easement by apparent sign between the two estates is now recognized by law in accordance with Article 624 of the Civil Code. All of the requisites, as stated, are present. Okay. So remember Article 624, which refers to the easement by apparent sign, is regulated by Article 624 of the Civil Code. There are limitations upon the right of owner of the dominant estate. There are two limitations upon the right of this owner of the dominant estate to exercise the easement once it is acquired either by title or by prescription. Again, there are two limitations upon the right of the owner of the dominant estate to exercise the easement once it is acquired either by title or by prescription. They are: one, that he cannot use the easement except for the benefit of the immovable originally contemplated, and two, he cannot exercise the easement in any other manner than that previously established. So Article 625, these are the two conditions. He cannot use the easement except for the benefit of the immovable which was originally contemplated, and two, he cannot exercise the easement in any other manner than that previously established. Okay. So there are several problems. For example, X is granted an easement of right of way by Y to transport A sugarcane over X railway in 10 railroad cars a day. The railway was constructed by X over the land of Y. Due to the failure of A to supply sufficient sugarcane and because of the need of increasing his sugar milling production, X takes the sugarcane of B, C, and D, and using 20 railroad cars a day, transports them through the land of Y to his sugar central. Has X violated the restrictions imposed by Y for the use of the easement? If not, and why not? Give your reasons. So, question is, has X violated the restrictions imposed by Y for the use of the easement? The answer is yes. X has violated the restrictions imposed by Y for the use of the easement. According to the title constituting the easement, only A's sugarcane shall be transported over X railway at the rate of 10 railroad cars a day. Subsequently, X began transporting sugarcane belonging to B, C, and D. And not only that, he also began using 20 railroad cars a day. Clearly, there is now a violation of two limitations which the law in Article 626 of the Civil Code imposes upon an easement once it is acquired. First, that the owner of the dominant estate cannot use the easement except for the benefit of the immovable originally contemplated, and second, that he cannot exercise the easement in any other manner than that previously established. Although there is still a debate as to whether or not the doctrine enunciated in Valderrama versus North Negro Central, 48 Philippines 482, has been abrogated by Article 626 of the Civil Code, the above problem does not fall in the purview of the controversy. So this is the view of Tolentino in her book, page 354 to 355, and Justice Capistrano in his book, page 560 to 561, agrees that there would be a violation in this case. Thus, according to Dr. Tolentino, we can agree with Dean Capistrano when he says that even if an easement is granted to a person to transport his sugarcane over a railway in 10 cars a day, he cannot also transport the sugar of his friends and use 40 cars daily. Okay. How are easements extinguished, or the extinguishment of easements? Easements are extinguished, one, by the merger in the same person of the ownership of the dominant and servient estates, number two, by the non-user for 10 years with respect to these continuous easements, and this period shall be computed from the day on which they cease to be used, and with respect to continuous easements, from the day on which an act contrary to the same took place. Number three, when either or both of the estates fall into such condition that the easement cannot be used, but it shall revive if the subsequent condition of the estates of either of them should again permit its use, unless when use becomes possible, sufficient time for prescription has elapsed, and in accordance, of course, with the provisions of the preceding number, which is Article 630. And, of course, with respect to these continuous easements, the period shall be computed from the day on which this is to be used. And easements are also extinguished by the expiration of the term or the fulfillment of the condition if the easement is temporary or conditional. And number five, by the renunciation of the owner of the dominant estate. And number six, by the redemption agreed upon between the owners of the dominant and servient estates. So, easements are extinguished and the rules are governed under Article 631 of the Civil Code. Article 631 gives you six instances in which easements are extinguished: by merger, by non-user for 10 years, by either or both of the estates falling into such conditions that the easement cannot be used, expiration of the term or fulfillment of the condition, renunciation of the owner of the dominant estate, and by redemption agreed upon between the owners of the dominant and servient estates. So Article 631. How about the legal easement of aqueduct? And this refers to the easement regulated by Articles 642 to 646 of the Civil Code. So 642 to 646 of the Civil Code. Any person who may wish to use upon his estate any water of which he can dispose shall have the right to make it flow through the intervening estates, but he must comply with the following requisites. Number one, he must prove that he can dispose of the water and that it is sufficient for the use which it is intended. Number two, he must show that the proposed right-of-way is the most convenient and the least onerous to third persons. Number three, he must indemnify the owner of the servient estate in the manner determined by laws and regulations. And number four, he must secure a water right in accordance with the formalities prescribed by the Water Code of the Philippines. With respect to the legal easement of drainage of waters, the easement of drainage of waters, or what is sometimes known as the natural easement of waters, If the legal easement regulated by Article 637 of the Civil Code, which declares that lower estates are obliged to receive the waters which naturally and without the intervention of man descend from the higher estates, as well as the owner of the lower estate cannot construct works which will impede the easement, neither can the owner of the higher estate make works which will increase the burden. So, remember, the legal easement, the natural easement of waters is regulated under Article 637, and remember those rules with respect to the duty of the servient and higher estates. So the servient estates cannot increase the burden, while the lower estate cannot construct anything that will impede the easement. The illegal easement of the right of way is governed by Article 649 to 657. So any person may demand a right of way through the neighboring estates, provided that the following requisites are present under Article 649 to 657. The estate, number one, the estate is surrounded by other immovables and is without adequate outlet to a public highway. Second, the isolation was not due to the proprietor's own acts. Number three, payment of the proper indemnity and the right. Number four, the right of way claim is at a point least prejudicial to the serving estate, and insofar as consistent with this rule, where the distance from the dominant estate to a public highway may be shortest. So we have cases, Luxin versus Climaco, 46 CRA 816, Remigio Ramos versus Gachalian Realty, that's October 12, 1987. Under Article 653 and 652, there are two instances where the above stated indemnity is not required. So remember, there are two instances where the above stated indemnity is not required. Number one, when a piece of land acquired by sale, exchange, or partition is surrounded by other estates of the vendor, exchanger, or co-owner. In such case, the latter shall be obliged to grant a right of way without indemnity. So it's a fair rule under Article 652. And the second instance where indemnity is not required is when a piece of land acquired by donation surrounds the estate of the donor. In such case, the donee shall be obliged to grant a right of way without indemnity. So that's under Article 653. Another kind of easement is the legal easement of party wall. This refers to the easement regulated by Article 659 to 666 of the Civil Code. This easement of party wall is presumed unless there is a title or exterior sign or proof to the contrary. Conditions, number one, in dividing walls of adjoining buildings up to the point of common elevation. Number two, in dividing walls of gardens of yards situated in cities, towns, or in rural communities. Number three, in fences, walls, and live hedges dividing rural runs. So remember, legal easement of party wall is governed by Article 659 to 666. How about the legal easement of light and view? And this refers to the easements regulated by Article 667 to 673 of the Civil Code. The easement of light, or ius luminum, refers to the right to admit natural light to a dwelling by means of openings, such as windows, balconies, or belvederes, by virtue of which certain burdens are imposed on another's property. The easement of view, or ius prospectus, on the other hand, refers to the right to make openings in one's own wall, or in that of another, or in a party wall, by virtue of which the owner acquires the right of view over or across another's property. Included in these easements is the corollary easement of non altius toliende, that's non altius toliende, by virtue of which the owner of the servient estate is prohibited from constructing beyond certain height. So again, easement of non altius toliende means an owner of the servient estate is prohibited from constructing beyond certain height. So in an easement of non altius toliende, an owner of the servant estate is prohibited from constructing beyond certain height. When easement is positive or negative, the easement of light and view is positive if the opening is through a party wall or through the wall of the serving estate, and the negative if the opening is through a wall of the dominant estate. So again, it's positive if the opening is through a party wall or through the wall of the serving estate, and negative if the opening is through a wall of the dominant estate. These are governed by Article 668 of the Civil Code. Article 670 of the Civil Code governs distances or provides for distances to be observed in construction of openings. In openings with a direct view over the adjoining estate, the distance must be not less than 2 meters away from boundary line. In openings with an oblique view, the distance must be not less than 60 centimeters away from boundary line. Article 670. Okay, so problem, we have problem here. A is the owner of a 4-story building which adjoins a 3-story house owned by B. A story of the two buildings has a height of 3 meters. In 1950, A opened in the dividing wall of the edifices 2 windows, each measuring 1 meter square. The first in the 4th story of his building close to the ceiling, and the second in the 3rd story, the window directly overlooking a small open terrace in the 3rd floor of B's house. In 1981, B demanded the closure of the 2 windows. As A's counsel, what legal advice will you extend to him and the reasons in support thereof? Okay, number one, we have to qualify as to which window, the first window or the second window. With regard to the first window, on the 4th floor, the action will prosper because A has not acquired any legal easement of light and view. He did not make any notarial demand, and the window opens through a wall belonging exclusively to A, not a party wall. On the other hand, with respect to the second window, the wall is partly wall and is a party wall, and it has been existing there for 30 years. Therefore, A has already acquired a legal easement. As regards the easement of light and view, opening windows which violates the provisions of the Civil Code with respect to distances to the boundary line does not give rise to the prescription by express provision of law. Number three, the dividing wall appears to be owned by A exclusively. Accordingly, Article 670 will apply. If it were not a party wall, Article 669 would apply. Okay? And if it is a party wall, since the dividing wall is evidently the common party wall of these two edifices, the easement of light and view has been acquired by prescription after the lapse of 31 years from the opening through the party wall. Number four, as counsel for A, it would be better to advise him to resist the demand of B on the ground that A has an easement in regard to these openings, it appearing that A has had continuous use of thereof that lasted for over 30 years. With the dividing wall, number five, the dividing wall appears to be owned by A. Article 670 provides that no windows, apertures, balconies, or other similar projections which afford a direct view upon or towards an adjoining land or tenement can be made without leaving a distance of 2 meters between the wall in which they are made and on such contiguous property. Neither can side or oblique views upon or towards such coterminous property be had unless there be a distance of 60 centimeters. The non-observance of these distances does not give rise to prescription. So remember Article 670. On another hand, Article 669 states that when the distance in Article 670 are not observed, the owner of a wall which is not a party wall adjoining a tenement or pieces of land belonging to another can make it in openings to admit light at the height of the ceiling joints or immediately under the ceiling, and of the size of 30 centimeters square, and in every case with an iron grating embedded in the wall and with a wire screen. So it's clear you should invoke 670 and 669 with respect to the dividing wall, which appears to be owned by A. Sixth observation, since the dividing wall is evidently the common wall, party wall, of the two adjoining buildings, the easement of light and view has been acquired by prescription after the lapse of 31 years from the opening through the wall through the party wall. That's based on Article 668 of the Civil Code. Nevertheless, the owner of the tenement or property adjoining the wall in which the openings are made throws them, and should he acquire part ownership thereof, if there is no stipulation to the contrary. So go back to 668. The owner of the tenement or property adjoining the wall in which the openings are made throws them, should he acquire partnership thereof, if there is no stipulation to the contrary. As legal counsel of A, he should be advised to resist B's demand, as the action to close the openings has already prescribed, although the easement itself of light and view has not been acquired by prescription. How about the requisites necessary for acquisition of easement of light and view through prescription? In order that an easement of light and view may be acquired through prescription, the following requisites are necessary. 1. The opening, if made through a wall of the dominant estate, must comply with the requirements with regard to distances for direct or oblique views, as prescribed in Article 670 of the Civil Code. And 2. Expiration of 10 years to be counted from the time of the construction of the opening, if made through a party wall, or from the time of the formal prohibition upon the owner of the serving estate if the opening is made through a party wall of the dominant estate. So for this case, should read Cid versus Javier, and CID versus Javier, and Article 668. You should correlate it with Article 621. Under the latter, under Article 621, the Civil Code declares that in negative easements, the 10-year prescriptive period must be counted from the day on which the owner of the dominant estate prohibits by an instrument acknowledged before the notary public the owner of the serving estate from exercising an act which will be lawful without the easement. So, correlate 621 and 668. In Cid versus Sabir, the Supreme Court held that the phrase formal prohibition, as used in Article 668, requires not merely any writing, but an instrument acknowledged before a notary public. The reason for this is that easements constitute a limitation upon the dominical right of the owner of the subjected estate. Hence, they can be acquired only by formal means. Remember that the above case, Cid versus Javier, was subsequently used as a basis for problems asked in the bar examinations in 1946, 71, and 1972. So, remember to read 668 and 621, Article 668 and 621, and then Cid versus Javier. Okay. So how about legal easements of drainage of buildings? The easement of drainage of buildings refers to the legal easement regulated by Article 676 of the Civil Code, which declares that whenever the yard or court of a house is surrounded by other houses, and it is not possible to give an outlet through the house itself to the rainwater collected thereon, the establishment of an easement of drainage can be demanded, giving an outlet to the water at the point of the contiguous lands or tenements where its egress may be easiest, and establishing a conduit for the drainage in such a manner as to cause the least damage to the serving estate after payment of proper indemnity. So, the legal easement of drainage of buildings is governed by 676 of the Civil Code. It's in principle least damage and nearest. Least damage to the serving estate, and egress is easiest. And with respect to distance in planting trees, it is governed by Article 679 of the Civil Code. So there must be distances in planting trees. The distances to be observed are at least 2 meters from the dividing line of the estates if tall trees are planted, and at least 50 centimeters if shrubs or small trees are planted. So tall trees, 2 meters from the dividing line, and if shrubs or small trees are planted, at least 50 centimeters from the dividing line of the estates. Okay. And how about rights of adjacent owner in case of violation? The owner of adjacent land shall have the right to demand that the tree be uprooted. That's under Article 679. Additionally, even if there is a compliance in the prescribed distance, if the branches should extend over his estate, he shall have a right to demand that they be cut off insofar as they may spread over his estate. And if it be roots which should penetrate into his land, He may cut them off himself with, in his land. That's under Article 680. 684 to 687 governs the legal easement of lateral and subsequent support. This refers to the easement of lateral and subsequent support. Remember 684 and 687. The proprietor shall make excavations upon his land as to deprive the adjacent land or building of sufficient lateral or subjacent support. So you cannot do that. Support is lateral when the supported and the sub-supporting lands are divided by a vertical plane. It is subjacent when the supported land is above and supporting land is beneath it. So you have to have a legal easement of lateral and subsequent and subjacent support under Article 684 to 687. So remember, you cannot make exhibitions on your land and you will deprive the dominant estate of adjacent land or building of sufficient lateral or subjacent support because it might fall down. So, and support is lateral when the supported and the supporting lands are divided by a vertical plane, and it is subjacent when the supported land is above and the supporting land is beneath it. So lateral and subjacent. So lateral if it's vertical, so inside it's subjacent when the supporting and supported land is above and beneath each other. So that ends our discussion easement and servitudes. Our next topic will be on nuisance as regulated under Articles 694 to 707.